Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 is our text. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, I'm going to focus on the God of peace. Or that's my title, the God of peace. And when we think of the peace of God, or just peace, there's a few different applications of this brought in the scriptures. First of all, it's peace with God. We have peace with God because we are justified by our faith, Romans 5:1. If you're not saved and you've not received Christ as Savior, well, then you're at odds against God. But we have peace with Him. There's nothing between us. Then there's peace with man. There's nothing between you and any person. And forgiveness is necessary to maintain peace with man. No matter who it is, someone's going to irritate you sooner or later. Some people can get irritated with the Lord, but so in other words, you can have a perfect person and still get irritated. But we have peace with God, peace with man. Then it speaks of the peace of God, and now also here, the God of peace. He is the God of peace. Now, when we just look at the peace of God, you can look at that like topically or as a subject to study. Now, the problem with just looking at it that way is you could endeavor to do things in your own ability to obtain the peace that God has or the peace of God. But the fruit of the Spirit's more, all of it's more than a topic. It's like love. God is love, but love can also be studied as a topic to understand. Peace can be studied as a topic. However, what's more important is to know the God of peace. Or in other words, if God is with me, then He will manifest His peace in me and to me. So if we're not walking in the light of Him being within us, or we're walking with Him, well, then we'll relegate peace to some topic. And see, topics you can know about, but that doesn't mean you're partaking of it. Just knowing about the things of God is not enough. A lot of people learn about the things of God, but they don't really know them. There were people that Jesus said, "Depart from me, worker of iniquity. I've never known you." So some people can know about the Lord, but they don't know Him. So as we know the God who is peace, like the God who is love, as we learn to walk with Him, and then we have the manifestation of Him in that way. So He says here, "The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you," or be manifest into your life. Love and joy and peace are things that we were created for. Every human being wants the fruit of the Spirit, wants love, joy, and peace. The problem is many find it elusive. They don't know how to get it. They might have heard about it, and they know some things about it, but it's not something they're partaking of, and people get very frustrated when they're walking in that way. Now, Paul says here that he gave us an example. You sum up verse 9. He gave us an example. If you'll take the things that they learned from Him and received and heard and seen in Him do, then God will, His presence will be in their life, which will carry peace. Now, I want to make sure we get this point before I'm going any further, because I'm going to look at some things we need to do. But we must first consider it's God who produces peace in me. Now, with fear unleashed around the world, really, not just in our own nation, it is vitally important that we learn to live in peace, lest you be tormented. Satan is a tormentor. Lest we be tormented and have our peace robbed from us. So we can learn to walk in it, to walk in the Spirit, and we encounter the God of peace. And as he's with us, he'll manifest his peace in us. Or in other words, he'll be whatever we need him to be. You know, you can try to do things that are good things, but if it's not what needs to be done at the time, what good is it? You know, when it comes to marriages working successfully, you could have like a book where it's 23 things to do to be a good husband or be a good wife. And you could do 22 things today, but not do the one your spouse needs today. So what good was it? That's frustration. You know, say you have a man and a woman, and the man's trying to be a good husband. He's really trying to do, and he's trying to remember the things to do. And he does 22 of the 23 things in the book, and the one thing he didn't do, which maybe was, say, express appreciation. And that's what she wants right now, today. In her mind, the other 22 things were of no value, because she needs you to be... just saying I love you, maybe something that simple. But as we're abiding in a Spirit, you always do the right thing. If you're abiding in a Spirit, if you're abiding in his word and his word in you, you're walking in him, you'll always do the right thing because he's leading you or he's influencing you. That's what it means to say we're led by the Spirit. He's influencing us, or we're WUI. Walking under the influence. You know, in the world is a DUI, driving under the influence. Of course, that's speaking of alcohol or drugs. But we want to be WUI, walking under the influence of the Holy Ghost. So when we understand like this, then everything is simplified for us. I like simple. Because life will be complex enough without you making it harder. So we walk in the simplicity, just abide in him. And he'll be to you all you need you to be when you need it. You could be trying to walk in love by yourself. And guess what? You don't need to walk in love when you're by yourself. But when you get around other people, you need to be able to walk in love at that moment in time. If nothing's bothering you in this life, well, then you don't necessarily need the manifestation of peace at that moment. But as soon as something which would agitate you comes across your path, well, now you need peace. Lest you get angry or in worry or in fear, whatever, under the influence of this world. So the God of peace being with us, he will manifest that peace when we need it. We do not want to try to live the Christian life out of our mind. Or you could say he's out of his mind. Although your mind is involved, it's first a spirit thing, and then the soul needs to follow, and emotions follow that. Now, I'm going to walk this back up to verse 6. In verse 8, he tells us the things we need to think about so that we can have the peace of God in a continuous fashion. Or in a continuous manifestation. We acknowledge God is the one to manifest peace. But we need to keep our mind focused and disciplined, thinking the right things, lest we pull ourselves out from the peace of God. So he says we need to think on these things. And he mentions things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous and worthy of praise. So if we'll discipline our mind as the Spirit of God manifests peace, we can keep it. You can come in the midst of peace and pick up a thought of worry or fear in the very next moment of time. So to continue in peace, we have to be able to think properly or take every thought captive. Now, I'm laying out a progressive order to this. So I'm going to repeat myself so we can connect the dots here. Peace comes from God. He's the God of peace. We need to learn to abide in Him and walk in His presence, and we will continue, or we will have His peace manifest to us. But the interruption of that peace would be through things that we're thinking. We begin to think wrong things. So in order to maintain the peace that would come from God, we need to take our thoughts captive and be disciplined. Sometimes people want to throw off discipline, like, well, that's religious works or something. That's always the voice of an undisciplined person. Always. I've seen people over-spiritualize things, and I'm not thinking any of you when I say this, but I've seen over the years, some will over-spiritualize everything. And they'll exalt this thought, well, I'm just led by the Spirit. I just, you know, do what I feel and so forth. People that will latch on to that thought are almost always people who are undisciplined. You must discipline the soul. You must discipline the mind, your thoughts, as well as live in the Spirit by faith, walking with Him. You know, we encounter the Lord. We respond to Him. There is the manifestation of His fruit. But again, to maintain it, we must be disciplined. So one of the things we have to learn to do in building disciplines, we have to discipline the words we would speak. We need to discipline the thoughts that we would think. And the only way you can do that is by taking every thought captive by the Word of God, and thus you can maintain the peace that the Lord would bring to you. You know, you can experience God's peace, walk out, say right here today, walk out the door, and something cause you to be angry towards another person, a little road rage incident, or cause you to worry. You know, you turn on a radio and you hear depression is coming or something of that nature. And you can pick up the thought of worry or fear in a moment's time and let go of your peace as you pick that up. So God can bring something to us very easily. He can begin to just minister to you and bring something to you. But to keep it, we have to think and speak properly in order to keep that peace. This would be a good time to use this illustration. A couple years ago, there was some ladies brought here by some ladies from the church that worked at this place where there was people who dealt with some mental torment. And, you know, they would come. They had to be taken to church, and they had to want to go. They'd come, and there was one lady who would snore. I mean, really loud. This, you know, I'm preaching. And she didn't just snore a little bit or like snort and wake herself up. It was loud snoring. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, from my vantage point, this is a distraction because it was so loud, everyone in the room could hear it. And then, you kind of chuckle like, you know, y'all chuckled at that, right? And you're walking in love. You didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. But I'm thinking, why is that person coming here and sleeping? Now, I realize you work third shift. If I see someone like Randy, all of the years you work third shift, you know, you start doing that head bob. I understand. You know, I understand. I worked third shift for 2 months once in my life. Wow. See, I was wise enough to make sure I got out of that job. But anyway, I understand. You don't get any sleep and doze off. But it's wise for us not to judge anyone or anything based on what we see. It would have been easy to judge that person thinking, well, they disinterested or whatever. Why are they coming here to snore? And I found out later, where this person lived, there was torment because the other people there had their devils. And there was no peace in the home where she lived. No peace, none, zero. So she didn't sleep. She couldn't go to sleep. Now, if you've ever been completely frazzled and didn't have any sleep, that's when you snore really loud. So here was this woman, the only place, this is what I found out later, the only place she encountered peace in her life was coming here, and during worship and the hearing of the word, the God of peace was here. So therefore, peace was manifest in our presence. And we could easily just sort of take that for granted because we're used to that. We go to church and, you know, we don't feel threatened. We feel safe. We're not, being tormented or anything because it's driving devils out. But for this person, it was the only place there was peace. So that's the only place she could sleep. So she would snore loud because she hadn't slept all week till she got to church. So that's a great lesson to me. Don't judge by appearance. Things are not always as they would appear to be. But you see, for this lady to go back home where there's no peace and there's people with their devils there, you know, and unless she could embrace the word and continue to think the word of God and speak the word, or words and thoughts, without that discipline, the peace that was encountered here cannot be kept. So you go right back into a more tormenting situation. Sometimes you do have to bring yourself out of a situation, but many times you can't do that on your own. God has to bring you out. So we're right back to square one. We have to pray and speak the word of God relative to whatever we're encountering that would be a peace robber, a peace robber. I remember when the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. It was in 1980. I was working in a foundry. At that time, I was running this machine that had all these iron fittings, and they'd be all like banging into each other and sort of like cleaning them or making them shiny that way. So I'm running this machine, which in and of itself would be boring beyond belief. Okay. However, I was meditating and speaking the word to myself all day and getting paid for it. Getting paid to do what I would have wanted to do above anything else at that moment, which was to speak the word, meditate the word. I would keep a copy of the New Testament in my pants pocket. And at every opportunity that I had, a moment where I didn't have to be paying attention to anything, I would get that out and memorize another scripture, especially ones that spoke of who I was in Christ. And it was a God-ordained time. Sometimes you have a time in your life that you might not like particularly, but there's something God wants to do in that time. Make sure you're letting him do what he wants to do before you try and move on to something else. Well, that was a time for me to learn and memorize scripture, and I would speak it to myself all day long. So Philippians 4:8 was one that I memorized, and I would say over to myself every day, many times over. So my mind was renewed with Philippians 4:8. So during the case, during the course of the day, and it's boring running this machine, certain thoughts are going to pass through your mind. And I would judge everyone from that scripture. That's not a good thought. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to think a good thought. I'm going to think truth, not Satan's lies. I'm going to think that which is worthy of praise. I'm going to think thoughts that are a good testimony, a good report. And by committing that verse to my spirit, as soon as anything negative would come up, that scripture would come up. Boom. So within that word was the power then to take those thoughts captive. So that's a great scripture to use relative to continuing to think the right thing so you don't lose what you've obtained. There are a lot of things in life where there's obtaining and maintaining. Brother Ed Cole used to say it's easier to obtain than maintain. Well, that's true. You know, you have someone might exercise real hard to obtain certain strength, certain muscle growth, but it's harder to keep that. You can learn to obtain certain things, like, say, learning a foreign language. Sometimes I'm driving my car, listening to radio, and I keep hearing this Babbel commercial to learn another language. And it's not hard just to learn a word, but how do I keep it? I've stopped trying to learn other languages when I go to other places because I'm not there long enough, using it enough to keep it. Can you still speak Russian, Shane? But you did 6 years over there, right? But probably not very fluently. They're both shaking her head. No. In order to maintain that, you're going to have to keep exercising those words, speaking them and pondering the meanings of those words. Otherwise, you begin to lose it. And being that I go too many different places, there's no reason for me to try to memorize or remember the meaning of words in different languages. I'll just get an interpreter. But if I was going to live somewhere, move there, well, then I need to learn the language. Well, this illustration pops into my mind with this. God can minister his peace to you, but can you keep it? You have to be able to keep it. And that's by continuing to think on the word of God, to think those things. You see, for us, even in gathering like this, it's not always about learning something new. Sometimes maybe you do. It's to continue to hear that word that would build faith, to continue to think upon and meditate and speak to yourself the word of God pertaining whatever it's speaking to. We have to renew our minds with that word to keep it fresh and alive in our heart. There are certain subjects that I've studied and I've learned things, but if I don't continue to reread the books, or whether it's online or whatever, I'll forget. For example, when it comes to diet and things relative to health, I've been studying that stuff for 40 years. And there's things that I know. But if I don't continue to read over it, and it's not my passion, I began to learn some things because I have to have it. I need to try to walk in health. And to do that, you're going to have to do certain things. And if I don't renew my mind, I'll lose the memory of it. I'll lose the thought of it. And only to find then I've lost disciplines. So what do I have to do? I have to start reading those things again and thinking on principles as to why I would eat certain things and why I wouldn't eat certain things. The things you like, you'll remember. You don't need any help remembering, you know, to eat what you like. But it's like, why was that again? I should eat Brussels sprouts. Oh, yeah. And I've come to sort of like Brussels sprouts. You can make yourself like about anything. You might say I beg to differ, Pastor Bell. But, you know, if you continue to do something, you'll acquire a taste or you'll acquire a certain habit. So there are things you have to continue renewing your mind until it's really so much a part of you. You just do it by habit. You do it by nature. Well, we need to become that way with the Word of God, where we have the habit, the discipline, and the habit of taking every thought captive. And that's really one of the secrets to maintaining what the Lord would give to you. So we can have where we would pray for someone that God would give them peace. And earlier this week, there were two individuals that one I knew and one I knew of, I didn't really know personally, that went to be with the Lord. Not anyone from our circles here, but someone that I knew. And, you know, what we will do is pray for peace, pray for comfort of the Holy Ghost. And that can come upon them. But if they don't discipline themselves, they can begin thinking about the sorrow or whatever it is that's involved there, thinking about that. And then the emotion come back on them of grief, sorrow, and such. So we need to think good things, and just to develop the habit of it, Philippians 4:8 is a good place to go. Now, back at verse 6, be careful, or don't worry about anything. Well, it's easy for you to say. Did you ever have someone say that to you? You say, don't worry about it. Well, that's easy for you to say. You're not the one going through it. Well, try saying that to Paul. He said, be careful for nothing. Jesus also said not to take any thought for the things for tomorrow. Or not, what he's really saying is don't worry about it. Okay. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, here is another thing that we need to have become our habit, and that is with everything, release it to God in prayer. If we will develop the habit of prayer for whatever would concern us, then we're casting that off of ourselves and believing God or giving it over to Him. And we should learn to make that our habit. Now, if you have no prayer life, well, then obviously you're not going to be doing that. I think it's especially important that we pray before we go to sleep and give everything that would concern us over to God, or ask, you know, for His hand to be upon it, or Him to move, or give us wisdom, whatever it might be, giving it over to God. So then you go to bed in peace, which then positions you to wake up in peace, because there's nothing really on your mind. But if you go to bed worrying, you're going to wake up worrying. If you go to bed angry, you'll wake up angrier. You'll wake up even with more fear. Because through the night, your soul is still conscious and meditating upon that, or retaining that in your soul and in your spirit. So it's very important we release everything to God. We recognize with whatever we're having to deal with, what does God's word say about it? I'm going to give it to Him in prayer. I'm going to think good things, or think what His word says to things. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard and protect your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So you can have peace no matter what you're going through. Jesus, when He's was on the boat and a storm arose, He had peace because he continued to keep His focus on His Heavenly Father, His ability to deliver, the will of God to go to the other side and to minister to the demon-possessed man. And he knew that God was greater than all this stuff around him. So the peace of God that passes understanding will keep or guard or protect your heart. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people make money today out of selling something to protect you. There's alarm systems, car alarm systems, firearms, all this stuff to protect you. But we need protection for our soul even more so than protection in the natural. And the protection for your soul is the peace of God. I'm not worrying about it. Because if you worry, it's going to cause you to do something, to react somehow in the flesh and in your own ability. But as we have the peace of God, there's like a shield around us. You can be walking through all kinds of things and it just doesn't bother you. And then people will say, what is with you? I know what you're going through and you don't seem bothered at all. Well, now they swung a door open to testify. What's Jesus? Oh, okay. I'm sorry I ask. It's the peace of God. The God of peace is with me. And this is so very important for us as we're moving in our life, whether there's a bad circumstance like all last year, the virus and all that, or whether a war would break out or economic collapse or anything, we can still maintain peace and joy in the Lord. But we have to understand how it works. Now, we don't just say a prayer to try and get peace. We don't just think good things to get it. The God of peace will manifest that as we need. But the things we need to do is for us to keep it. There will be plenty of things to give you opportunity to worry about. We have peace from the Lord. We go to God in prayer with that which would concern us so that we can keep the peace. I hope you can understand what I'm saying here. We don't want to make a works out of it, because that's what man will always do. We don't make a works. Above all, we recognize God is a God of peace. He gives me that peace as I walk with Him I'll have that peace, but to maintain that, I want to look at everything through the eye of faith and think upon that which would be what God says about it, so I can keep the peace. And if you'll keep the peace, it will keep your heart and mind. God's peace will keep your heart and mind. So there's no reason to be overwhelmed with fear, worry, or anxiety, any such thing. We can be free from all of that. Now, I add one more thought. He says, let everything in by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So as we release faith and we're believing that this is what God's going to do, I prayed relative to who he is and what he's promised me, my covenant. So I believe he is going to manifest, so I am going to praise God along with praying. I will sing praises to the Lord. I will declare joy in the fact that he is going to answer that prayer. He is going to manifest himself in my life. So as we pray, releasing faith, we are then positioned to continue praising him, which even strengthens his work in us all the more. Or in other words, giving us peace.